from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Voice of Indonesia, here is the news. First, the headline, read by Ahmad Faisal. Indonesia holds the 7th World Peace Forum. The 7th World Peace Forum to produce messages of peace. Now the news in detail. Special Envoy of Indonesian President for Interfaith Dialogue and Intercivilization Dialogue, Din Syamsuddin, said that his party is back to hold the 7th World Peace Forum in Jakarta on August 14th up to 16th, 2018. The forum is carried out due to the collaboration between the Center for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilization and a non-profit organization from Malaysia, namely Cheng Ho Multicultural and Education Trust. The proposed theme for the 7th World Peace Forum is the middle path for the new world civilization. Through his press conference in Jakarta on Monday, Din Syamsuddin affirmed that the 7th World Peace Forum is not an interfaith dialogue, but it has broader scope because it will involve various parties from different backgrounds such as religious scholars, peace activists, policy makers, and academicians. The forum is neither a dialogue between religious believers nor an interfaith dialogue. There will be theologians, religious scholars, and representatives of international religious councils attending the forum. The representatives of Vatican, World Council of Churches, World Buddhist Fellowship, Hindu Association, International Islamic Organizations, figures from various religions, and the representatives of Jews are also going to participate in the forum. Besides religious figures, scientists, intellectuals, scholars, and a number of professors that contribute to establish the world will also attend the forum. Furthermore, Din Syamsuddin explained that from hundreds of invited guests, several prominent participants have given their confirmations to attend the 7th World Peace Forum. Among others, former Prime Minister of Timor-Leste, Xanana Gusmao, and the former President of Timor-Leste, Mari Alkatiri. In addition, President of the Federation of Micronesia, Peter Christian, and Envoy of Russian Foreign Affairs Minister, Shuvalov, have also confirmed their attendance at the forum. From Middle Eastern countries, advisor to Palestinian President for Religious and Islamic Affairs, Mahmoud Al-Habbash, and Secretary General of the King Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz International Center for Interreligious and Intercultural Dialogue, have also confirmed their participation at the event. Moreover, former chairman of the World Religion and Peace, Bishop Gunnar Saltat, and a number of important figures from 40 countries and international organizations confirmed to attend the forum. Presidential Special Envoy for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilization in collaboration with the Cheng Ho Multicultural and Education Trust of Malaysia will hold again the 7th World Peace Forum. The 7th World Peace Forum will be organized in Jakarta from August 14th up to 16th, 2018. Based on the invitation, there are approximately 100 peacemaker figures and activists, 40 countries, 100 theologians and local scholars. The 7th World Peace Forum themed the Middle Path for the World Civilization, meaning their solution to overcome conflicts by considering the principles of balance and justice that are embraced to shape the world civilization. Regarding with the concept, the 7th World Peace Forum's steering committee chief, Yuli Mumpuni, said on his press conference in Jakarta on Monday, her team has received several feedbacks about messages of peace which later will be produced at the forum, and these messages will become the background for policy makers in each country. Steering committee has received feedbacks regarding with the messages from the peace activists that will attend and contribute at the forum. Their contributions are based on their experiences to support and foster peace both in their countries and in the activities of the realm. Several concrete recommendations which would like to be conveyed are messages. The messages are like an appeal or the world appeal for policy makers. No matter how the implementation is going to be, it will depend on the policy makers. Yuli Mumpuni said that the forum will discuss the resolution of economy, culture and politics at the 7th World Peace Forum. Besides, a group of four participants focusing on one issue will be made. There is also a recommendation to establish a group which concerned about the issues discussed or the messages of encouraging peace. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered Commander of Indonesian Military, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, to mobilize helicopters belonging to the Indonesian military as the assistance to reach the remote area in North Lombok affected by the earthquake. It was stated by Hadi Cahyanto after he observed the earthquake management and the society affected by quake on Monday in North Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara Province. President Joko Widodo admitted that there are still several regions in the remote area of North Lombok which are difficult to be accessed for acquiring help. The factor is due to the complicated field that must be conquered in order to reach the remote area. Despite the obstacle, according to President Joko Widodo, the helicopters are supposed to be deployed for logistics distribution to the affected society. We should know that the North and West Lombok are incredibly huge sub-districts. Therefore, there are several areas which still have not yet been exposed to help and handle, particularly in the Bayan and Kayangan sub-districts. Although some sub-districts and cities have been accessed, there are still actually around 1 to 3 villages which have not been touched in the 2 sub-districts. The difficulty is affected by the position of the areas which are located in the road to the summit of Mount Rinjani, and it cannot be accessed by motorcycles or even cars. In addition, cracks and erosions buried people and their houses there. This problem has not been overcome yet. There are approximately 1 to 3 villages which we need to concern on, but the field to reach them is highly difficult. However, I have ordered the commander to resolve the challenges, and we have 4 helicopters which are readily usable. Yet, we need to bear in mind that the field is not easy to access. Regarding with the issue of sanitation, President Joko Widodo moreover said that Until now, the government has provided 90 emergency sanitary facilities. According to the president, the number will continue to expand with the additional 200 sanitary facilities that are on their way to North Lombok. The number is going to elevate considering the high demand of sanitary facilities for the society affected by the earthquake. President Joko Widodo will keep calculating the demand of the people affected by the quake to identify their necessities and the effort of providing them. Indonesian President Joko Widodo chaired a limited meeting related to the handling of earthquake impact in North Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The meeting was held after the president directly reviewed a number of earthquake relief posts in North Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara, on Monday. The limited meeting was attended by a number of parties, including the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko, West Nusa Tenggara Governor Muhammad Zainul Mazdi, TNI Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian, Head of the National Disaster Management Agency Willem Rampangilei, and National SAR Agency Chief Muhammad Syaugi. In his instruction, President Joko Widodo asked his staff to really ensure the number of severe damaged buildings and people's residences. The president also instructed to immediately hand over assistances to renovate the buildings. By giving the assistance, President Joko Widodo hoped that the rehabilitation and reconstruction process can be conducted as soon as possible.
Saya kira dimulai besok pagi.
Tomorrow morning, we will hand over the assistance to a number of badly damaged houses, and I hope it will begin with repairing 1,000 of buildings. The handing over assistance for repairing homes will be immediately carried out, and the construction will begin per zone, so that the TNI, the police, and BNPB, accompanied by the public works, could begin the repairing process, and it can also be started from the sub-district to be planned properly, so that the velocity of money, especially economic activities in North Lombok and West Lombok, begin to run soon. Related to people's economic development post-earthquake, President Joko Widodo also asked to reconstruct public facilities, especially market, which also becomes the government's concern. The president asked the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing to invite people to use the facility of the market after being rehabilitated and reconstructed. In accordance with the result of the limited meeting in Jakarta recently, President Joko Widodo asked the ministry to involve the community in development process of people's residences, which is severely damaged due to the earthquake. The president wanted to reconstruct the residences which are resistant on earthquakes. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Dodi Budiwaluyo said the central bank was preparing measures to provide a boost to the rupiah, which depreciated to 14,600 rupiah per United States dollar on Monday. According to Dodi, the measures included intervention in the foreign exchange market to stabilize the rupiah in accordance with the country's economic fundamentals. Dodi said that the central bank had also carried out a foreign exchange auction on Monday to help ease pressure of the rupiah. A number of external factors have influenced the rupiah's depreciation, including the depreciation of the Turkish lira, a trade war between the US and China, as well as the devaluation of the yuan. Dodi expressed the hope that rupiah would not weaken any further. Dodi further said, "This is only temporary, considering Indonesia's strong economic fundamentals as indicated by significant economic growth and low inflation." 10 November, Institute of Technology Robotic Teams achieved 19 awards in FIRA Robo World Cup 2018 event in Fengxia University, Taichung City, Taiwan. A dozen of awards were contributed by the Ichiro team. Leg robot competing in the FIRA Humanoid Robot Cup category, an Irish team, wheel robot competing in the FIRA RoboShot category, and Bayu Charaka team flying robot competing in the FIRA Air category. Coach of 10 November Institute of Technology Robotics team, Muhtadin, in press conference in Surabaya on Monday, thanked Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education for all the opportunities and support given until the team won. 10 November Institute of Technology Robotics team would try to show its best in other competitions in the future. Besides achieving the 19 awards, Ichiro adult-sized robot who achieving the runner-up of weightlifting also succeeding in getting the world record. The robot succeeded to lift 130 compact discs, defeating the previous record with 100 compact discs. Indonesia's national basketball team is set to face South Korea in Asian Games Group A match that will be held at the Gelora Bung Karno's Basketball Hall in Senayan today at 6:30 Western Indonesia time. South Korea will be a tough opponent for the fact that the team won the gold medal in the 2014 Asian Games and was the third in the 2017 FIBA Asia Cup. The team has also participated 6 times in the Olympics, 7 times in the FIBA World Cup. South Korea's statistics are a stark contrast to Indonesia's basketball team that is ranked 21st by FIBA Asia. Meanwhile, Indonesia is ranked 103rd in the world level. Indonesia's men basketball team has never participated in the Olympics, World Cup, and has yet to win the Asian Games, with its best finishing in 5th at the 1954 and 1962 Asian Games. However, this doesn't mean that the Indonesian team will not be at least competitive against the South Korean team. Despite being realistic about Indonesia's chances against South Korea, Indonesia's men basketball team coach Victor Ito Roring said that he has prepared a special strategy in facing the Korean team. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Lenin Prone Trade Dispute of Indonesia and USA. In November last year, President Donald Trump ever tweeted with a threatening tone on Twitter, as if he seems to be warning countries of the United States trading partners, specifically in Asia, to be prepared for the consequence of trading with the U.S. in unfair ways. Trump's tweet was only 4 days after the announcement of the World Trade Organization WTO, which rejected Indonesia's appeal and warned the U.S. and New Zealand in the case of trade dispute in the form of restriction or barrier to horticultural imports by Indonesia. For the USA, the WTO's rejection of Indonesian appeal from a dispute decision that has existed since the end of December 2016 was a big victory. The United States under President Donald Trump is struggling against an increasing trade deficit reaching $566 billion US dollars in 2017. The new round of this case, which began Indonesian tension, was that the USA appeals for the WTO to impose fine worth $350 million US dollar on Indonesia due to the loss received by the US from the trade restriction practice in 2017. For 8 months after the post-decision of the WTO in November 2017 until July 20, 2nd, 2018. Indonesia was regarded to have failed to fulfill the WTO recommendations. However, Indonesia considered the U.S. argument irrelevant. Indonesia claimed to have obeyed and revised the policy objected by the USA. Indonesia insisted making various adjustments or policy revisions in accordance with the recommendation given by the dispute settlement body, DSB, of WTO. One of them was adjustment of provision for recommendation on the import of horticultural products in the Regulation of Trade Minister No. 60/2012, which later became the Regulation of Trade Minister No. 47/2013. Further revisions were also contained in the Regulation of Agriculture Minister No. 86/2013. However, the U.S. considered the recommendation on the import of horticultural products as part of trade restriction, which was not in accordance with international trade policy. The recommendation on the import of horticultural products was a kind of import control in accordance with the needs and interests of domestic farmers and cattlemen. Another revised regulation was the Regulation of Trade Minister No. 60/2012. Concerning the provision on the import of horticulture products, which was stated in the Regulation of Trade Minister No. 16/2013. Further revisions were in the Regulation of the Trade Minister No. 57/2013. In addition, Indonesia also had to question the amount of $315 billion, or 5.04 trillion rupiah, which the U.S. claimed as the compensation value suffered by the U.S. entrepreneurs in the USA since 2017, due to difficulties in exporting horticulture products, livestock, and animal products to Indonesia. Different perception between Indonesia and the USA would be discussed again at the Section of Dispute Settlement Body, DSB, of WTO on August 15, 2018. How could Indonesia win the dispute? Let's wait and see next. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We start from an event on August 14, 1937, when Japan surrendered to Allied forces. On August 14, 1945, Japan announced to unconditionally surrender to Allies and effectively ended World War II, in Pacific. Japan defeated the Allies because USA dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6 and 9, which killed nearly 200,000 Japanese. Since that time, August 14 was known as Victory Over Japan Day. The term was also used for September 2, 1945, when Japan's official handover took place on a ship, USS Missouri, anchoring in Tokyo Bay. The next event is that August 14, 1973 is the South Kalimantan anniversary. South Kalimantan is one of Indonesian provinces located in Kalimantan Island. Its capital city is Banjarmasin. South Kalimantan Regional Legislative Council with Decree No. 2, 1989 on May 31, 1989 stated that August 14, 1950 is stipulated as South Kalimantan anniversary. August 14, 1950 through Republic of Indonesia Union Government Regulation No. 21, 1950 was the date of Kalimantan Province formation after dismissal of Republic of Indonesia Union with Governor Dr. Muriani. Historically, South Kalimantan area was firstly formed as South Kalimantan Residency area in Kalimantan Province. The last event is that in 1961, the Indonesian Scout Movement was established. Indonesian Scout Movement is a non-formal education organization which holds scout education in Indonesia. The word Pramuka or Scout is the abbreviation of Praja Muda Karana, which means young people who like to work. The establishment of Scout Movement in Indonesia was introduced to the public in a big ceremony in Jakarta on August 14, 1961. The ceremony was started by a parade of about 10,000 Scout Movement members and also followed by a development march and parade before President Sukarno. Before the parade, President Sukarno inaugurated National Leadership Council, National Council, and Daily National Council in the State Palace, and gave a word of appreciation and honor, which was the pennant of the Indonesian National Scout Movement based on Presidential Decree No. 448-1961. At the time, Head of National Council Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX received the awards a moment before the parade started. This August 14, 1961 event was later commemorated as Scout Day, which is commemorated annually by Scout Movement members. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic, Pancasila values become the identity of nation's life. As the state ideology of Indonesia, Pancasila will become strong and permanent in life of Indonesian nation if the values of Pancasila can be implemented by Indonesian people in their daily behavior. This was stated by Minister of Defense Ria Misharachudu when he gave a public lecture at Tarumanegara University on Wednesday. He remarked that a threat may haunt the existence of Pancasila ideology in this modern era. As quoted from Kompas.com, Minister of Defense admitted he is concerned about the infiltration of ideologies which are contradictory with the values of Pancasila through the rapid information and technology development. It is highly important to comprehend the concept of Pancasila, considering there are many ideologies such as liberalism, socialism, and communism. Furthermore, Minister Ramishat stated that the three ideologies can be conquered by the values of Pancasila, which have united Indonesian nation until today. Therefore, he called for the values of Pancasila to be vehemently internationalized in the society, including at universities. Universities do not only foster the intellectuality of all components at the university, but also build their national insights. Minister Ramishat expect the students to keep developing their self-competence and capacity in order to accomplish the goals of Indonesian nation as well as become leaders that can contribute solution for every problem. Meanwhile, Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Bambang Susatyo called for the young generations to implement the values of Pancasila in everyday life. He said that until now Pancasila has been proven to be the foundation that strengthens the diversity and integrity of Indonesian nation. As quoted from Vipa.com, Speaker Bambang said during the national seminar on the 12th Enhancement of National Insight held by Central Executive Board of the Indonesian National Youth Committee of Surabaya, East Java on Wednesday, that Indonesian nation will fall into pieces without Pancasila. If Indonesian youth do not behave based on the values of Pancasila, Indonesia will have no guidance to strike its visions. He called for the Indonesian National Youth Committee to be the locomotive of youth in understanding and implementing the values of Pancasila as the bond of national and state life. He also initiated the importance of making draft law on the enhancement and implementation of Pancasila. Therefore, Pancasila can be comprehended and implemented continuously in every aspect of life, particularly in youth's life as the future generation of Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is the news in brief. Special Envoy of Indonesian President for Interfaith Dialogue and Intercivilization Dialogue, Din Syamsuddin, said his party is back to hold the 7th World Peace Forum in Jakarta on August 14th up to 16th, 2018. Presidential Special Envoy for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilizations in collaboration with the Cheng Ho Multicultural and Education Trust of Malaysia will hold again the 7th World Peace Forum. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered Commander of Indonesian Military, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, to mobilize helicopters belonging to the Indonesian military as the assistance to reach the remote area in North Lombok affected by the earthquake. Indonesian President Joko Widodo chaired a limited meeting related to the handling of earthquake impact in North Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Dodi Budiwaluyo said the central bank was preparing measures to provide a boost to the rupiah, which depreciated to 14,600 rupiah per United States dollar on Monday. 10 November, Institute of Technology Robotics team achieved 19 awards in FIRA Robo World Cup 2018 event in Feng Chia University, Taichung City, Taiwan. Indonesia's national basketball team is set to face South Korea in Asian Games Group A match that will be held at Gelora Bung Karno's Basketball Hall in Senayan today at 6:30 p.m. Western Indonesia time. That was the news in brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Shine.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Amuk Bay Beach. Stay tuned! Listener, Bali was one of the most favorite tourist sites in Indonesia. Many tourists come to Bali to enjoy the beauty of Bali beaches. Most of them usually visit the popular beaches like Kuta Beach and Pandawa Beach. Therefore, no wonder if the two beaches are always crowded by the tourists. For those who do not like the crowd and prefer quiet atmosphere, you can go to East Bali. In the area, you can find Amuk Bay Beach. It is located in Antiga Village, Manggis, Karangasem. To reach the location from Ngurah Rai Airport, you need about 56.4 kilometers or 4.5 hours drive. Listener, as you reach to Amuk Bay Beach, you will see the stretch of white sand mixed with black sand clearly. On the right side of the beach, if you face the sea, you will see colorful lines of local fishermen's traditional boats. While on the left side, you will see PT Pertamina's oil transit terminal. Arriving in the beautiful beach, you can swim immediately as enjoying the freshness of the blue water. Swimming in Amuk Bay Beach is also comfortable. It is because the location is in the bay area and it makes the waves are so quiet. Listener, instead of swimming, you can also enjoy the beauty of Amuk Bay Beach underwater by snorkeling, diving, or submarine tourism. By diving and snorkeling, you can enjoy the beauty of coral reefs and colorful fishes. Another interesting one is submarine tourism activity. An international scale company, Odyssey Submarine Bali, provides the only submarine tourism activity in Bali by taking the diving site in Labuhan Amuk Bay because the beauty of the underwater is still natural. Amuk Bay does not only have the beautiful beach, but also have the beautiful hill. As you reach the object Amuk Bay Beach, you have to spend your time to go up the hill for 15 minutes to get the view of cluster of hills and blue sea from a distance. Standing on the hill, you will see the blue sea and Mount Agung from a distance. Do not forget to keep politeness and no littering. It is because Amuk Bay Hill was sacred by the local people and there is also a temple along the journey to the hill. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Amuk Bay Beach in Bali. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening.
Oh, to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back to Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Introducing Indonesian vocabulary and idioms and guiding you to use it in a conversation. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station with the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, ada ukuran L? Or do you have an L size? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on ada ukuran L? Do you have an L size? Tony is in a shopping center with Endah. He is choosing a batik shirt for himself. Pramuniaga or the clock? Cari kemeja untuk siapa? Untuk saya. Ini cukup. Sepertinya kebesaran. Ada ukuran L. Saya cari dulu ya. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, ada ukuran L? Ada ukuran L, which means, do you have an L size? I will say the words 2 times and you can repeat after me. Cari kemeja untuk siapa? Cari kemeja untuk siapa, which means, for whom the shirt is? Untuk saya. Untuk saya, which means for me. Ini cukup. Ini cukup, which means this fits. Besar. Besar, which means big. Kebesaran. Kebesaran, which means too big. Terlalu besar. Terlalu besar. Too big. Sepertinya kebesaran. Sepertinya kebesaran, which means it seems too big. Ada ukuran L? Ada ukuran L? Which means, do you have an L size? Saya cari dulu ya. Saya cari dulu ya, which means I look for it. When shopping for clothes, you might mention the size. In the dialogue, Tony asked for an L size to the shirt salesman. Ada ukuran L? Ada ukuran L, which means do you have an L size? Another example, tolong belikan blus untuk Dinda. Tolong belikan blus untuk Dinda, which means please buy a blouse for Dinda. Apa ukurannya? Apa ukurannya? Which means what is the size? M. M, which means M. As for pants or trousers, numbers are usually used. Ada celana panjang? Ada celana panjang, which means are there trousers or pants? Nomor berapa? Nomor berapa, which means what number? 30. 30, which means 30. Another example. Kaosnya cukup. Kaosnya cukup, which means does the t-shirt fit? Kekecilan. Kekecilan, which means too small. In the dialogue, you heard Tony said, sepertinya kebesaran. Sepertinya kebesaran, which means it looks too big. Kebesaran. Kebesaran means too big, while kekecilan. Kekecilan means too small. They are mostly used in conversation, while in formal language, the word terlalu or too is used, like terlalu besar. Terlalu besar, which means too big. Terlalu kecil. Terlalu kecil, which means too small. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation example once again. Cari kemeja untuk siapa? Untuk saya. Ini cukup. Sepertinya kebesaran ada ukuran L. Saya cari dulu ya. After listening to the above conversation about ada ukuran L, which means do you have an L size, I will give you an exercise which relates to the words you have learned so far. This exercise is to describe your work or job by mentioning your name, profession, place of work, your working time, etc. Like day, working hours, and breaks. Example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan. Saya bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat, mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai dengan pukul 1 siang. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian to the following email address. voi@voinews.id. I'll repeat, voi@voinews.id. There will be attractive gift packages for lucky listeners. The names will be announced in November 2018. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa. See you.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which presents you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you Malay songs. To initiate our segment of Music Corner for today, we will present you a song entitled Surga di Telapak Kaki Ibu by Victor Huta Barat. The song tells about the sincerity of a mother. Listener, enjoy the song. Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Surga di Telapak Kaki Ibu by Victor Hutabarat. Composed by Said Effendi, the song tells about someone who is emotionally affected when he reminisces the kindness, sincerity, and compassion of a mother. To him, paradise lies underneath the feet of a mother. In line with the lyrics of the song, the music of this song is truly evoking. Being popular in the 1950s, the song has been performed by many Indonesian singers. Among those are Musin Alatas, Edi Silitonga, and Lesti. Next, let's us listen to another song by Victor Hutabarat entitled Kasih Sekejap. Composed by Ismail Marzuki, the song narrates about someone who feels broken-hearted because her dearest man's love for her was just in the twinkling of eye. She can only hope that her lover will be blessed with happiness. The song Kasih Sekejap was not only popularized by Victor Hutabarat, but it was also popularized by other singers such as Edi Silitonga, Elvi Sukaisih, and Chacha Handika. Even, this song has been frequently presented in the version of dangdut music arrangement. Listener, here is Kasih Sekejap. Enjoy listening.
Cintamu hanya sekejap, tiada ku sangka, tiada ku duga, sampai hati wahai juwita. Di waktu kita berjumpa, berlinang sanggup bersuara.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Kasih Sekejap by Victor Hutabarat. To conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, we would like to present you a song entitled Cinta Hampa, composed by Aholic. The song tells about the fakeness of love that is embodied as water on the caladium leaf. The water easily spills when the leaf shakes. This analogy illustrates the fake love of the man's lover narrated in the song, which effortlessly diminishes when she captures the sight of a more handsome man than her lover. Listener, thank you for joining us in Music Corner. Hopefully, the songs we dedicate to you today will improve your insight about Malay songs from Indonesia. I'm Putri Safir Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.